That's lovely.
That should be on.
Blessing to be in God's house.
Amen.
Blessing to have our pastor back as well, well enough to convene. An amazing God, faithful God to us. If you'd like to turn to Exodus 16, it's the whole chapter, and that's where I'll be taking the main message from. Exodus 16. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. And in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" And Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening, and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, "Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." And that evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." And the Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little, and when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning, and Moses, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you were to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I give you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt. So Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna with the tablets of the covenant law so that it might be preserved. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. And it's got you, an omer is 1/10 of an ephah at the verse 36 at the end. Father, I just pray that you will undertake, as I share your word, Lord, Father, that you will give me everything I stand in need of to be able to bring your word, Father. I thank you that you enabled me to study and to write this message down, Lord, for your glory, Lord, that you are speaking to your people, the church, this morning. And Father, I just pray that you will speak to our hearts and we will focus on Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And we've read here in Exodus, it's a beautiful portion of scripture of God's tender mercies of provision for his people. And before writing this message, I was reminded of God's manna for me. I was reminded of God's daily provision for me. Meeting my needs. Jesus is the bread of life. Christ is our bread of life, our manna. And to know that it is a daily trusting in God that I need, that we need as his people. It was a perfect reminder for me that I must live in the today, to trust God today as the manna was provided daily for God's people. God will provide daily for me and he will provide daily for you today. And God can use whoever and whatever he wants to. Amen. He can use the body of Christ and he can also use the people in the world. And here in this portion of scripture, we read that the Israelites have just been brought out of Egypt. They saw God's mighty hand, what he'd done, his almighty hand. And here we find them grumbling against their leaders. And in verse 2, if you look at verse 2, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And we read in verse 3, the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. They were looking at Egypt, looking back at Egypt with rose-tinted glasses, and they were dissatisfied. Their unbelief distorted their perception of reality. How quick human nature can change. They saw God's mighty hand deliver them. They sang praises to God, and now they are grumbling because they are hungry. They imagined their past in Egypt to be far better than what it was. Slaves in Egypt did not eat meat in abundance. And if we look at Psalm 73, verse 2, we just have a little look at that psalm. Here we see how the psalmist is looking at the world. We read in Psalm 73, verse 2 and 3, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prospects of the wicked. And as believers today, do we ever yearn to live the way we lived before we come to Christ? I hope not. I hope not. When we look at the world as the psalmist did in Psalm 73 verse 3, we read, he speaks of envy and the arrogant when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. And in verse 12 he says, this is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth, and the psalmist goes on to speak of his afflictions and his punishments. But then he comes and speaks of eternal matters. He comes to his spiritual senses, if you like, and he says, verse 17, till I entered the sanctuary of God. There's something so special about the sanctuary of God, coming to God's house and coming before him in the quiet place in our homes or wherever we are, that secret place with the Lord. It brings us sometimes to our spiritual senses. And then he says, I understood their final destiny. God's word brings us straight back to spiritual reality. And Psalm 73 verse 21, he says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Dissatisfaction before God is not a good place to be. And verse 23, he goes on and he thinks and he says, yet I am always with you. You hold me by your right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. And so here in this psalm, we see how the world has no regard for living unto God. And sometimes we may think and see that those in the world, those that are not Christians, live exactly how they want to. With no thought of pleasing God, they just live for themselves. And it can seem so easy for them sometimes. But yes, the Christian life can be challenging because we cannot and shall not, should not live unto ourselves. And when we do live to ourselves, it can soon make us feel uncomfortable, because that is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He convicts us because he loves us. And what we want to do as Christians, when we're living for Jesus in the world, can be challenging for us, because we are called to live a holy life in a world where there are so many temptations. But the reward is eternal life for those who are in Christ. And when we have come to Christ, may our heart's desire never be to turn back. Our life is in him. And so the Israelites were looking back to Egypt. And may we not be found yearning for that. May we know that Christ is our portion, our inheritance for living. He is our provision daily. We cannot know what God has planned in advance for us. But God only asks that we trust him daily, as he asked the children of Israel in the wilderness to trust him with the manna and the quail that was provided. I found myself, I think it was one morning, waking with what I would call mild anxiety. But then I was reminded that God will provide daily for me. He will be my provision and my manna and my quail. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. What is your understanding this morning? Does our understanding come in the form of imagining what is before us? Perhaps we can feel anxious about our life situations that come into our lives, and that is natural. But we know God doesn't want us to lean on our minds, on earthly matters, our feelings, that sometimes is difficult. But he wants us to rely on him and rely on eternal matters, and to focus on him, to acknowledge him in our lives as our daily provider, our daily sustainer, our portion in this life. He shall direct our paths. And the definition of lean here is to support oneself. In other words, don't support yourself on what your understanding is, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. We were never meant to concern ourselves with the what ifs, but I know we do. Psalm 16 verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And Psalm 37 verse 23, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. The NLT version, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. When anxiety and fear loom, take a promise from God's word. Take a promise from him. I need my steps of faith to be firm in Christ. And the definition of step is companionship. And I thought that was lovely, because our truest companion is the Lord, and we walk in step with him. Psalm 37 verse 4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us all our desires that are rooted and focused on him. He will give us those desires that are satisfied in him. He will give us all the desires of our heart. Delighting ourselves in the Lord, he alone will give us the desires of our heart that conform our heart to him. He will give us all the desires of our heart to enjoy him to the full. Our desires will come from him, not from us, from ourself, for Christ and in him alone, to want what he wants for our lives, to yield to his purpose for us. And this is what our desires should be, lining up with God's will for us. And so coming back to the original text of Exodus 16, we see that God tells Moses he will rain down bread from heaven for the people, but they come with instructions of how to gather. They were to go each day and gather enough for that day. The definition of gather is to pick up, to gather, to glean bit by bit. And in this way, the Lord says, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. And I believe through times of testing, we learn to follow God's word and lean on it. God's people needed to trust the manna and the quail each day, otherwise they would starve. And the Israelites were grumbling against the Lord. They were grumbling against Moses and Aaron, and in doing so, they were grumbling against the Lord. And Moses said to them, who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. And I can remember a point in my life where I felt disappointed with God. And that's a form of grumbling. Because I wanted him to make me better quicker. And I think very soon I repented, because who was I to be disappointed with God? God works in his perfect timing. And God used the Israelites' grumbling. And in his mercy, his grace, he meets their need. God says to Moses to tell the people, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread, then you will know that I am the Lord your God. Through God's miraculous provision of meat and bread, they would know their God. And the literal meaning of manna temporarily saved them from starvation, the literal manna, physical death. It saved them from physical death. But our spiritual manna, the Lord Jesus Christ, saves us from eternal death. And the Old Testament manna was a type or a foreshadowing of Jesus. And just as the manna was supplied to the Israelites for their physical need, God has provided Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls. Praise God. In John 6:35, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I believe God can bring us to desert places to receive him as Lord and Saviour before we come to him. And he can bring us as his people to desert places to trust him more. As believers today, we who know Christ as the bread of life can know this daily provision as the Old Testament bread pointed to the true bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. God supplied manna to feed the Israelites as they fled Egyptian slavery. And God has provided his son to free us from slavery of sin, our old nature, our old life. I thank God the Father for the Lord Jesus, his Son. I thank God for Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When God sees us, he is well pleased with us. He is well pleased with us. Why? Because he sees his Son and the perfect sacrifice his Son made for everyone who believes on his name. We need to recognize that God is well pleased with his children because of Christ his Son today. That is why we need to come and delight ourselves in him today. Daily delight in him. Tell him about our day. Enjoy his presence. Be joyful in his presence. Just enjoy God, for he delights in us. Proverbs 3 verse 12, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Discipline is good for us, isn't it? The manna God sent would fill them. I was thinking, you know, of a newborn Christians, just as newborn babies, they're satisfied with milk. And God provides for them, and he can use us in that process of feeding. Maybe we know newborn Christians. I've come to know one now recently. And maybe a few verses of scripture to encourage someone who is new to the faith in Jesus. Just to be encouraged to share with them. I mean, in lockdown, you know, God provided for his church, amazing, provided for his people, the online preaching and being able to share. And I know I was so blessed. I remember it was an Easter time, the first Easter in lockdown, I was able to send scriptures to people. And I remember thinking, I haven't even got to put a stamp on a card and go up the postbox now. I can just, it's so easy to do. So blessed to send scriptures to friends and family. God's provision in someone's wilderness in lockdown, it was amazing. You know, God doesn't stop. He's building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When we come to Christ for salvation, we can live a satisfied life, a sufficient life, because of Christ, a filled life. God's full provision of salvation for us. Personally, I experienced lack in my life before coming back to the Lord. Then the provision of the Father, drawing me to the Son, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit on my life met my lack in full. And trusting God is daily. It's a daily life trusting in him. And he will provide for every need. Firstly, he provides us with our salvation when we receive Christ as Lord and Saviour. And that is amazing that he saves us. And then he provides everything from the physical to the spiritual to the emotional and to the mental health needs that we have. For God's word, we see always provided for us. From God's word, from Psalm 139, we always see that God has provided for us because he knew us from the beginning of time. He wrought our days out. He meets everything. He will fill and meet every need in Christ. He knows what we need. I don't want to rely on my understanding of outcomes, because they don't always happen the way I think anyway. But just to rest in today, like the manna, God provided for his children daily. And I want to be like that. God alone knows how he will provide for every need and how and what way he will provide it. The Lord commands the people, the Israelites here, to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tents. And the Israelites were obedient. Some gathered much, some gathered little. Everyone gathered just as much as they needed. There are wants in our lives that align with the old nature. And they would battle against our born-again nature. And they do, don't they? But when we have everything we need in Christ, our joy can be and should be complete in him. And Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. God had supplied daily sufficiency for the day. Some of them lacked trust, they kept some back. We see in verse 20, however, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So So Moses was angry with them. Moses saw their lack of trust. I wonder sometimes, can people see our lack of trust in God sometimes and get a bit, I know people have with me probably many times, and get angry or frustrated. Moses had told the people it was God's command. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Can you imagine the instructions that the children of Israel had? They were spoken to them so clearly, and yet some of them lack trust, and we can be the same. We have God's word, and yet we sometimes lack trust in it, or I lack trust in it. We read that some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning. Are we paying attention to God's word, what God's word says to us? How much of ourselves do we keep back that isn't trusting the Lord? Maybe we will be obedient and trust him for this part of our lives, but we keep some parts of our lives back just in case. Or maybe it's out of fear, which results in lack of trust. We trust our own strategies, like Linda was speaking of control last week, and when in fact God is in control of everything. He gives us our next breath, you know. Even people who think they achieve in the world and they work hard and they amass a lot, if God didn't give them their breath to breathe, it wouldn't come anyway. So, and this Old Testament manna reminded me that God wants me to trust him daily. How I need to remember that. He will provide daily for me. You know, the part they kept back, it turned smelly and maggoty. And that represents our efforts to trust ourselves and not him. It can represent sin in our lives. John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Christ being our bread of life, our manna. Can you imagine how fresh that daily provision was? That manna that God provided daily, how fresh that must have been. God's word can come in that way to us. A fresh revelation. And that's what we need sometimes. We need a fresh revelation of God's word. And it would have tasted delicious, that food, heavenly food. I think it speaks later on of angels' food. But it would have tasted delicious, and the word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And you know, I was thinking it must be such a blessing to have someone at home you can share God's word with and gather it together. Just to be excited about the Lord together. But there will always be someone in the body of Christ that we can gather with and share with. You know, it's just, I love that. I love doing that. We had a lovely time last Tuesday fellowshipping. I was so blessed by that morning. So what are we keeping back that causes us to lack? The Israelites had bread to the full each day. So keeping some back would have caused them to lack in what God was willing to provide for that day. And worry robs us, doesn't it, of God's provision, and causes us to lack what God is willing to give us. Yes, lack for the day when God wants us to receive to the full from him daily. And they didn't use that day what God had provided. They didn't use it all. There have been times where I have held back. I haven't used all that God would be willing to give me, and because I haven't trusted him for the day that as I should have trusted him for the day. My worry, my flesh has held back the full provision of God. But you know, the grace of God can restore and give back in abundance when we trust in him more in our lives, even if we didn't trust him as we should have yesterday. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Even when we don't trust God fully, he can still work it out for the good. And I can testify to that. Amen. I need to trust daily, not to hold back. And when God has given me enough for the day and not to fret about tomorrow's needs, that's a childlike faith. And Jesus talks about the childlike faith in the Gospels. As the manna will be fresh again in the grace that enables us to trust the Lord daily. And then we go on and see that on the sixth day they were told to gather twice as much ready for the Sabbath day on the sixth day. They saved the Sabbath's portion till morning and it did not stink or get maggots in it, just as the Lord had commanded. And this is God's sovereign will. He is in control of our provision in life, in every area of our lives, and God wants us to rest too. Again, we read in verse 27, nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. It is only through obedience to God, firstly, and walking in trust in him, will we receive God's provision in full, and it's at the right time. The abundant life with all the heavenly blessings. The people who went out to gather in disobedience came back empty. And I know we're talking about God's people here, the Israelites, and they came back empty. But it reminds me of the world. You know, people, Andrew was saying, people can look in all directions, but without Christ, they're empty. And some of them don't even know it. It is only through obedience to Christ that we will know his fullness, his abundance, bread to the full. They were given simple instructions to gather every morning, but the sixth day to gather for 2 days. It was there ready for them to gather. They just needed to gather, to glean, to pick up what they needed. God's word is our manna, our daily provision, and we too can gather what we need for the day. For those who are born again by the Spirit of God, this morning we have a relationship with Jesus, our heavenly manna. To gather from him in prayer, to commune with him in prayer, to receive our daily provision. God's provision to us through his precious Son, who made a way for us to come to him through his death upon the cross. He paid the penalty, the debt of our sin, took our sin upon himself and made and paid the way for us. And this wonderful access to the Father, when Thomas asked Jesus where he was going, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God's provision of salvation, the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I said earlier, it would be lovely to share with someone at home who is walking with the Lord, and to be able to share my joy of knowing him daily and sharing scriptures and just having fellowship. But that doesn't make me dissatisfied, because my satisfaction is in Christ, because I still have the joy and I can express this through prayer to the Lord. Share with him my joy of knowing him, knowing his timing for salvation and his purpose will come to be his perfect will. I pray that all my household, and I'm sure you do, will hear the gospel and believe it for themselves. John 6:37, Jesus says, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. King James says, I will never cast away. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven, Jesus said. The bread, the Old Testament manna, came for their physical needs. But Jesus is our manna. He comes down for our spiritual needs, for the salvation of souls. For I have come down from heaven, Jesus says, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. God's word is fresh manna for today. We need to receive it as he gives it, through faith in him, in Christ. John chapter 1, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, I believe God provides and protects us from situations and dangers we are not even aware of, because he goes before us. Psalm 91 verse 11, for he will command his angels, hallelujah, concerning you to guard you in all your ways. God's a God of provision, and he's our protector this morning. We see at the end of the chapter, the Israelites are told to take an omer of manna and place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. Verse 33, so Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. As a memorial, this is as a memorial of God's provision to share with future generations, for them and for us. We too can build memorials in our lives of remembrance, and for us to share with others. Moses says in verse 32, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt. We can look back and see God's provision on our lives, his faithfulness to us, his people, and for the Israelites who actually experienced God's provision of manna for 40 years. It was to be a symbol of God's faithfulness for generations to come to see. And we too can leave memorials in our lives when we trust the Lord Jesus. And what a legacy to leave for our generation and the generations to come. How God has provided in our lives, amen, and for our children and our grandchildren to see how God provides for us. And not only to see the provision, but to know Jesus for themselves and receive him. I'm just going to finish with the lyrics of a song. They're lovely words. I don't know if some of you know it, but it's called No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. And it says, some of the lines say, if my heart could tell a story, if my life would sing a song, if I had a testimony, if I had anything at all, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and grey and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. And this little bit here, let my children tell their children, let this be their memory, that all my treasure was in heaven and you were everything to me. And when Jesus comes into our lives and brings that joy, we have everything in him. Everything in him, you know, Jesus the center, and then when we've got him in the center, the joy comes from him, and we can enjoy everything else. Everything else is a treasure as well to us. But Jesus must come first in our lives. Jesus everything comes from Jesus, and then the joy that we have in Jesus first is overflowing, and we can enjoy everything that God has given us, our families, our friends, our life. May our lives be a testimony for Christ, for the family and the people around us as well, in Jesus' name. And that our children would worship God, and our children's children, and that's where our treasure should be. Jesus said, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And Jesus is our treasure. And I love that line, let my children tell their children, let this be their memory, that all my treasure was in heaven and you were everything to me. And I think when we share Jesus, and when Jesus is our treasure, then without Jesus, there is no real joy. And when we know Jesus, we can have the joy in him, and everything else just overflows from him, and we enjoy our families and everyone around us and the body of Christ, we can just love and have a joy. So, Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I just thank you that everything is found in you, Lord. It's only you that we can go to, Lord, to have this fulfilling, this filled bread that you speak of. The children of Israel, Lord, were filled with the bread of the manna in the Old Testament. But Lord, they were filled for their physical need. But Lord, you fill us for our spiritual need. And you save us, Lord, and you give us this joy and this treasure that is found in you alone. And you are everything to us, Lord, because everything comes from you. Our lives are in you. Our new life, our born-again life is in you, and everything comes from you. So, Father, I thank you this morning. And, Lord, may we put you in the very center of who we are. And, Lord, sometimes if we stray from that, if I stray from that, please forgive me. And, Lord, may I remember that you are my treasure and you are everything, Lord, to me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.